Wow. The Lord bless you and keep you. El Señor te bendiga y te guarde. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. El Señor te mira con cuidado y te extiende su mano. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. El Señor te muestra su favor y te concede la paz. I can't tell you what encouragement it gives me to look out and see so many people here wanting to worship our Heavenly Father, wanting to bring him glory and honor through the songs that we sing, the prayers that we pray, through the words that we speak. It's such a great opportunity for us to gather together as the body of Christ, to spur each other on to love and good deeds. And those love and good deeds that we spur each other on to, that's what makes us a servant. We all just sang that song, Lord, make me a servant. And I want us to understand exactly what that is. What does it mean to be a servant? Because our society certainly doesn't know. Our society promotes the American dream. The American dream to be your own boss, to rise to the top, to be the CEO of your company, right? And if you're your own boss, you can keep your own hours, right? You are the owner, the operator of your business. But I'm here to tell you that the American dream is not about that. It's really about wealth. Because anyone in here who owns a business can tell you that you don't get to keep your own hours. You're driven by your customer. Your customer determines your hours. There are many people I know that sometimes on Sunday morning get a call. And guess what they have to do? Well, they got to go to work. They got to run out and take care of whatever their customer's need is. So the American dream is not about keeping your own hours. It's not about being your own boss. The American dream is about wealth. 1 Timothy 6, verses 9 and 10 says, but those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evils. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. Now, as I'm saying this, please don't walk out of here and say that I said that anybody who owns their own business is greedy and wants wealth, because that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying if that's what's driving you, then you need to reevaluate. If you own your own business, more power to you. I think that's awesome. I do own my own business. Anyway, I would love for that to happen. But don't let wealth be your driving factor. The American dream about wealth is a falsehood. It is not true. It is not the dream that we should have to be greedy, because it's filled with troubles and strife. It's filled with snares, and it ruins people. The love of money ruins people. So instead of the American dream, we need a different dream. Listen to 1 Timothy 6, verses 6 through 8. These are the verses right before the ones I just read. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. But if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content. Instead of the American dream, we ought to be striving for the Christian dream. And there is a marked difference between the two. The Christian dream is to be Christ-like, or to be like Christ, to be molded, to be conformed to the image of God's Son, Jesus. That should be our desire. That should be our goal. That should be our dream. And everything that comes along with it is just bonus. In 1 John chapter 2, whoever says, "I know him," but does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him, listen to the last part, that's where I want to get to, ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. He is Christ. We as Christians ought to walk in the same way that Jesus walked. Our dream is to be Christ-like. Now, I remember when I first became a Christian, I was stationed in Iceland. And about 2 or 3 months into my Christianity, I was ready to chuck it all. I was done. It was just so overwhelming for me. There were so many things I had to try and gather and grasp and do. And man, I wasn't giving right. I wasn't walking right. I wasn't doing this. I wasn't doing that. And man, it was just overwhelming. And then I said, you know what? I'm going to grab one thing. I'm going to work on it. And because I was in the Air Force, I grabbed my language. My language wasn't very pretty. I was like a drunken sailor, I'll tell you that. So I grabbed my language and I worked on it first. And then when I thought I might have that under control, I said, okay, what is the next thing that I need to work on? So don't let this idea of being Christ-like seem like it's out of reach for you. It's not. John tells us we ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. Even though the scripture tells us that he is the Messiah, he is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the mighty God, the Prince of Peace, the light of the world, we should not be overwhelmed by those particular names for him. In John 8:12, Jesus spoke to them saying, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." That seems like a hard act to follow, doesn't it? How can we follow the light of the world? Yes, that's a trick question. Because Jesus himself calls us the light of the world. In Matthew 5, 14 and 16, you are the light of the world. I want you to grab that. Take hold of that. Own that. Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." He turns right around and says, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under the basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house." So here we go. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. The Christian dream is to be Christ-like. The light that we shine, the light that we shine to the world is, or are, depending on your English grammar, the good works that we do. That's our light. We shine, people see that, and they give glory to God the Father. I'm reminded of that poem, I think it's called Footprints, where the gentleman is speaking to Jesus and says, "You know, I can see you're right beside me. Everywhere I go, there's two sets of footprints in the sand. But during the hardest times of my life, during the times where I couldn't even go on, during the times when I was in such deep despair, there's only one set of footprints." And he says to Jesus, "Where were you? Why weren't you walking with me?" And of course, Jesus turns to him and says, "I was carrying you during those times." 1 Peter 2, starting in 19. For this is a gracious thing. When mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. What credit is it if you sin and are beaten for it? You endure. But if when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you. Here it is, leaving you an example that you might follow in his steps. The Christian dream is to follow in the steps of Jesus. And yes, that even means follow in his sufferings. That even means endure suffering for being a Christian. You see, the Christian dream is nothing like the American dream. Here's one that's really difficult for us. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 22, he committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. When we go through those times when there's only one set of footprints, when we go through those times when we're suffering for the cause of Christ, we do so by committing ourselves to him. We do so by remembering that he is the one who judges, and he judges justly. So don't let suffering stop you from following in his footsteps. Don't let tragedy stop you from being Christ-like, from desiring to walk just as Jesus walked. You see, Jesus became a servant. He became a servant of all people. Right? That's the text we read, isn't it? In Matthew 20, starting in 25. But Jesus called them to him and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. It shall not be so among you. Did you hear that? It shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be your slave. Even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Do you see what the American dream has done to us? We don't want to be servants. We don't want to be slaves. We want to be served. I love it if my wife would bring me my pipe and slippers when I walked in the front door. I don't smoke a pipe, but anyway. I would love it if she were to bring me my iced tea on the front porch. We love to be served. Our society has taught us that when we are served, we have reached the pinnacle. We are at the top. But Jesus says, no, really, we're at the bottom. It's when you are serving, that's when you are at the top. When you are a servant, that's when you are at the top. And Jesus demands, yes, I said that, he demands that we become a servant, just like he was, for all people. Not just for him. For all people, we are a servant. When we go to work, even if we own our own business, when we go to work, we don't work so that we can buy the latest, greatest, brand new thing. We don't go to work so we have money to stick in our 401k. We don't go to work so that we can put this great steak dinner on our table, even though we can't do that. There's nothing wrong with that. That's not why we go to work. Ephesians 4:28 says we go to work so that we have something to share with somebody else who happens to be in need. That's why we work. We work so that we can be a servant. We celebrate. We just celebrated the 4th of July. We just celebrated the new year. And we celebrate to the Lord. Maybe you didn't celebrate the new year. That's fine. You didn't celebrate to the Lord. Romans 14 says, whether you celebrate or whether you don't celebrate, as long as you're doing it to the Lord, you're all right. Because we are servants. It doesn't matter what we are doing. It only matters who you're doing it for. I say that, of course, there are caveats. You can't live in sin, so that matters. Whatever you do, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Colossians 3 and verse 17. You know, there are two eternal purposes. I said this, and I fully believe that this is true. God has two eternal purposes. The first eternal purpose is that all people become saved. Now, we know that's not going to happen. God knows that's not going to happen, but that's his purpose nonetheless. God is long-suffering, not wanting any to perish, but all to come to the knowledge of repentance. He wants all people to be saved. And the second part of his eternal purpose is that he wants the saved to be more like his son Jesus. He wants us all to conform to the image of Jesus. And the image of Jesus that we have is a servant of all. I remember, you know, I'm just a short kid. And my dad was pretty tall. He was 6'2 or 6'3 or something. And I used to go visit him in North Carolina up on Blowing Rock Mountain. Well, Blowing Rock was the name of the city. It's on the top of a mountain. And in the wintertime, it was just full of snow. I mean, a lot of deep snow up there. And I remember I'd be following behind him. And I'd be jumping from one of his footsteps to the next. You know, I'd be trying to follow in his steps. Now, sometimes I wouldn't make it because he had a pretty big step and I was a pretty small kid. All right? Sometimes I wouldn't make it. Sometimes I would. My goal, though, my purpose was to follow in his steps. Because I trusted him. I trusted him to be leading me to where I needed to go. It's the same thing with us in Christ. We are to jump from his footsteps because we trust him who judges justly. We trust him to lead us where we're supposed to be going, and that is to be a servant. Is it easy? Being a servant is not easy. It never is, especially because of the mindset that we have in our society. Being a servant is looked down upon. Being a servant is laughed at. Being a servant is what Jesus wants us to be. In Luke 4:6-46, he says, why do you call me Lord and don't do what I tell you? Let that sink in for a second. Jesus says, I want you to be a servant. You call him Lord. Are you serving? If we call Jesus Lord, and I'm sure everyone in here does, we ought to be serving him by serving others. Paul tells Timothy, those who are rich, be rich in good works. I'm not saying you can't be rich. I know I'm bashing the American dream. I have a purpose for that. I'm not saying you can't have wealth. No. Matter of fact, Paul tells Timothy, tell those who are rich to be rich in good works. Use the things that I've given them to share with others in need. I think we read that in Ephesians 4:28, didn't we? We are to give of our resources. We are to give of ourselves You know, in Luke 14, Jesus is giving us this parable about the guy who didn't have enough resources to build the tower and the walls and stuff that he wanted before the enemy came and struck him down. And at the end of that, he says this particular, he makes this statement that you must renounce all that you have if you want to be my disciple. Did you hear that? Luke 14:33. In order to be my disciple, you have to renounce all that you have, which means everything you have now belongs to God. You remember, that was one of the problems that Jesus had in the New Testament with the Pharisees. He said, you call this Corban, so you don't use it. You hold on to it. You say it's given to God, so you don't use it to take care of your parents who are in need. And therefore, you make the word of God null and void by your tradition, right? That's what Jesus says. Well, everything we have is Corban, but it's to be used in service to Him. Everything we own. Your house, guess what? It belongs to the Father. Your car, guess what? It belongs to the Father. Your bank account, guess what? It belongs to the Father. Your 401k, guess what? It belongs to the Father. It doesn't belong to you. And we are to use it in service to Him. So the question is left for us this morning. Are we serving? Or are we being served? If you are serving, oh, please keep going. Keep doing it. Serve and serve more. If you find yourself being served, make a commitment this morning to be a servant. I know we don't like that word servant. We don't like that word slave. And I understand that. It has some very negative connotations for us. But guess what? It's what Jesus demands we become. He demands we become a servant. He demands we become a slave. He demands that we serve others in the kingdom of God. So make a commitment today to be a servant. Make a commitment today to serve your congregation, to serve your fellow Christian, to serve your fellow man, your fellow woman, your neighbor, whomever it is, so that you too can be more like Jesus. If you find yourself this morning wondering about service and serving, if you find yourself this morning saying, you know, I don't know this Jesus, but He's got it together, and I want to know Him. I want to be part of His body. I want to live with Him forever in eternity. If you find yourself in that position, come forward. One of our elders will sit with you, and you can tell them, I want Jesus to wash my sins away. I want to become part of His kingdom. And then you too can imitate the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and His blood will wash your sin. Or maybe you didn't have an opportunity to write your prayer request down on that card. Come forward. Grab an elder. Grab a deacon. Grab me. We'll walk off to the side somewhere, and we will lift whatever it is that is on your heart to the Father. The elders of this congregation consider it an honor and a privilege to beseech the Father on your behalf. To talk to the Almighty, the Creator, the Covenant God, for you. If you haven't lived this morning, please let us know on the stand.